In a world where information of all types is so readily available, people are looking for the answers to life's most important questions, yet the darkness never seems to lift. We at Lighthouse believe that what the world is looking for is actually a person, not an idea. That person is Christ Jesus, not the Jesus in a bottle that grants your wishes, or the Jesus that is powerlessly sitting back wishing he could be part of your life. I'm talking about the Christ Jesus of the Scripture, who is Almighty God. He who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and also said, "I am the light of the world." It is this Jesus that is only found through the narrow gate. It is he who has the power to dispel darkness. Join us now for the Light of the Word as we take a weekly expositional trip through the Scriptures. I'm your host, Pastor Eugene. So let's listen in to Pastor Jim as he opens the Epistle of James.
James 4, beginning in the first verse. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Oh, Father, as we start this journey through these 12 verses, Lord, we ask that you be with us, that you speak to those that you gather, to those that would hear. We ask that your Spirit would reveal your word to them. And we ask, Father, that you would speak through your servant, that your word would be what is brought, not my ideas, not my thoughts, but your word. And that, as always, Lord, everything that takes place here brings honor and glory to your holy name. Amen. I want to read this also from the Holman version. It says, "What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from the cravings that are at war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your evil desires." That was just a little more descriptive of what's going on. And I think it gives us a very clear picture of what's being said here. The question that he asks right off the bat here in this first verse is, what causes quarrels or wars, and what causes fights among you? Over the last few weeks, as we've looked at all these different challenges that we've received from James, as we have examined ourselves, it always comes back down to examining the heart, doesn't it? Remember, it was out of the heart that we speak. It was out of the heart that we lose peace. It was out of the heart that all these things that would cause us to go away from God and away from the fellowship with God come out of the wickedness of our heart, out of the flesh that we live in. In our reading this morning from the New Testament, from Romans, Paul's telling the story of how he has a war going on within him, of those things that are spiritual and those things that are fleshly, and how this battle rages on within each one of us. But also, not only within us, it rages between us too, doesn't it? We all have our different thoughts and desires as to what is right. And too often, we don't take them to God's Word. Now, when I was growing up in high school, junior high, history classes, we learned about a lot of the wars, the American wars. But one I didn't learn about until I got to college was the Pig War. Is anyone familiar with the Pig War of 1859? No? In 1859, the British had what is now Canada, and of course the Americans. Just north of the state of Washington, there were the islands there. And it was a place of contention between the Americans and the British as to who actually owned and ruled the islands. So there were both Americans and British that were living there. There was one particular British man who raised pigs, and he would let the pigs run free. He free-ranged them. There was an American man who raised potatoes. One day, the British pig was in his American potatoes, and he shot the pig. This escalated over the next several days and weeks to where troops were sent in from both Britain and America. There were warships around the outside of this island from the Brits. and the Americans had cannons aimed at the warships, all over a pig. The British pig owner told the potato farmer that it was his responsibility to keep his potatoes out of his pigs. But over this, the governor, the British governor of the island, commanded the troops to attack the Americans. The brigadier general, the British brigadier general, said, "This is foolishness to go to war and to kill people over a pig." And so he refused to attack, which led to some talks, which led to a peaceful outcome of the war, or the pig war of 1859. We come up with some pretty ridiculous reasons to go to war, don't we? We come up with some pretty ridiculous reasons to go to war with each other. You know that more people leave churches because of the color of the carpet or the pew, the chairs, than for any other reason? Isn't that foolishness? When I'm sitting in that chair, or I'm sitting in the pew, I can't tell you what color it is unless I look before I sit down. And I don't think that I can worship differently if it's a particular color. I don't think one color reduces my worship. I mean, one church that we were at years ago had orange pews. I can worship in orange pews. I can worship in blue, gray carpet, whatever. It had orange pews and kind of a burnt orange red carpet. And I could worship. But people actually leave churches because of this kind of thing. What causes these kind of wars, these kind of quarrels among us? They come from our heart, don't they? They come from those things that we think are important, not the things that God thinks is important. If God thought it was important for us to have a particular color of furnishing, don't you think it would have been in His Word? He thought it was very important as they built the tabernacle that He actually described it down to the finest detail of what it would be. Why do we find things important that God doesn't? Are we smarter than God? Or do we think we're smarter than God? I don't know too many people that go to church that would say yes to that, but I unfortunately know too many who act as if they are. So what causes quarrels, wars, and fights among us? I want us to look at three things with this. The first is wrong desires. The second is wrong directions. And the third is wrong motives. So as we get started with wrong desires, I want to jump right into the scripture again with Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, "The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." So Mark says, or Jesus says in Mark, that it is the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth. We begin to think of things as more important than they ought to be. In Romans chapter 7, verse 8, it says, "But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire." What kind of desire was that? Covetousness. That desire that we have what somebody else has. The 10th commandment is what we're talking about there. It is the 10th commandment that says, "Thou shalt not covet." Thou shalt not desire those things that are somebody else's. And it's talking about a desire that would cause you to do whatever it takes to get those things. Romans chapter 8 and the 5th verse says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on the Spirit's desires." What desires is your mind and your heart set on? Is it set on the desires of the world? Folks, we are taught this indirectly from a very young age. This is very natural. Those natural things are the things of the flesh, right? This is very natural that we would desire those things of this world, and that our desire would put them in our hearts and in our minds in a greater place than God. Romans 13:14, Paul says, "Rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Instead of these things that we focus on, we need to put our mind on the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, on His Word, on prayer. And if we would do this, it would completely change who we are. When we have a division and fellowship with someone, Cynthia and I try to pray that either us or them or both would get their hearts right before God. Because it is the heart that causes that. Our desire, our passions are on the wrong things. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." You ever notice how hard it is to get our minds changed from a fleshly desire to a spiritual desire? Because once we set our mind on what is natural and those things that we want in this world, they begin to consume us in a way that we should be consumed by God's Word. Most everybody here probably knows who Marilyn Monroe was. She was the blonde bombshell, is what she was called. She was quite beautiful in her day. She was quoted as saying, "I don't want to make money. I want to be wonderful." She set her mind on being something greater than she was. She just wanted to be wonderful and wanted the world to see her as wonderful. So it's not just financial and physical things that we set our minds on and desire. It's all sorts of things. One of our presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, after he had passed away, one of his children was talking about him one day and about how he liked to be the center of attention. And his child said that if he went to a wedding, he wanted to be the bride. If he went to a funeral, he wanted to be the corpse. Because he always wanted to be the center of attention. Is that a problem that you might have? I know people like that, do you? That no matter what the conversation is, no matter what's going on around, they've got to get into the middle of it and have people look and listen to them so they can show how wise they are, how much they know. I think this is messed up thinking, don't you? I also don't think that these are the only two that feel that way. What do you think? I think this is a common way that people think. Maybe they don't express it quite like that, but I think people think this way on a regular basis. Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." Or 1 Peter 5:5 says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." When we start to put the things of this world first, instead of the things of God, it is because of the pride in our heart. Will Rogers said, "Too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want, to impress people they don't like." Again, another one of those areas that we try to show our worldliness so that people will look at us and that we would be the center of attention. Benjamin Franklin wrote, "He that is of the opinion money will do everything may well be suspected for doing everything for money." I saw a picture this morning, a video this morning, of looting going on in Minnesota. Now, brothers and sisters, I think what happened there should bring all of us great sadness in our heart. I think all of us should stand against any kind of racism, if that's what that was. We should stand against any kind of harm coming to somebody. And the man was innocent until proven guilty. So was the police officer, by the way. But for people to go into the streets and destroy businesses. I saw another video this morning of a black man whose business was being destroyed and burnt down. And he was begging them not to do it. See, this wasn't about race. If that was the case, they would have gone over that store. This is about the lust of the heart. One of the people in the video looting looked like it was Christmas. The smile and the excitement for what she had just stolen, she looked like it was Christmas. Friends, our hearts deceive us and cause quarrels and fights among us. And when they have deceived us, it is hard for someone to show it to us because of the pride in our heart. We will not listen. We are too busy trying to keep up with the Joneses, thinking that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But it's not. 1 Timothy 6, beginning in the 6th verse. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we'll take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." What is our hearts and minds set upon? I was listening to a preacher this week, and he was on a show being interviewed, and they were talking about the people who will not be coming back to church. A pastor friend of mine is wanting to quit their online services as soon as possible so that the people will come back. But this pastor I was listening to, he said that there are many people who come to church not to worship, but because it's the tradition. They were raised going to church. It's something that they do. And now that tradition has been broken, and there'll be no reason for them to come back because it never was about God. He went on to say that there are also people who in this time, because of all the media things that have gone out, who will start coming. Because when we truly have Christ, it is a great desire to meet together. It is a great desire for us to come together and worship. There are places in this world where people risk great harm to themselves just to come together and worship. There are those in the secret church that have to hide just to worship. Because when we truly belong to Christ and we are in Christ and Christ is in us, the desires of our heart change. Our directions change. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in the 56th verse. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He gives us the victory. We can overcome these things. But like any sin that takes place in our lives, it's not easy, but it's worth it. Cynthia and I were talking the other day, and we're coming up on our 27th wedding anniversary. In 27 years, there has been some good times in there, and there's been some hard times in there. But the hard times were okay because it was worth it to be where we are. It's worth it to fight against our own flesh, that battle that Paul was talking about. 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." If we are born of God, we can overcome the world. It doesn't mean we don't trip, but not every trip leads to a fall, right? Cynthia and I went to Tractor Supply this week, and apparently they were painting some of the outside of the building. And I'm easily distracted sometimes, and I was looking up at the plastic that they had on the building, and I didn't see the curb that I was coming up on. I hit that curb. I felt like Scooby-Doo, you know, when he runs off the end of a building or something and his legs are going. I didn't fall. There was a guy coming out of the store. I don't know if he knew whether to laugh or be concerned. He said, "Are you okay?" Not every trip ends in a fall. But even in a fall, we can get up, can't we? In the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can get up and keep going. The second area I wanted to look at was wrong directions. Verse 2 here says, "You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, and you do not have because you do not ask God." You do not ask. Why do we go to all the wrong places? Don't we as Christians have direction? Don't we know who to go to in our needs? You would think that we would, but sometimes we go to the world when we need to be going to God. We go to other people when we need to be going to God. In fact, we go to people who live in darkness sometimes instead of the light. A couple of verses I wanted to look at with this. Start with Ephesians 2, beginning in the first verse. "As for you, you were dead in transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." But yet we go back to that very place, to those very people who we know are in darkness, to seek advice. When we desire something that God has not given us, because it is not prudent for us to have it, we go around God, or at least we do what we can to go around God. Matthew 6, the 33rd verse says, "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first the kingdom. For the kingdom, for the name of Jesus Christ. Not for what you can get. That is the same as asking and asking amiss. But we always seem to want to go to the wrong places to seek out the wrong advice because we do not want to do things God's way. I've actually had people tell me, well, I know what the Bible says, but the only buts in the Bible is but Jesus, right? What do you mean you know what the Bible says, but? We need to be careful of our direction. We get so wrapped up in what we want that we're willing to do anything to get it. In that second verse, he says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. Now, I could read that to somebody and they say, I've never murdered anyone. Never. If I did, I'd be in jail. But what does the Bible say about hate? Just as if you lust after someone, that is adultery. If you hate someone, the Bible says that is murder. Think of the people, and we'll just go to before you were saved, that you would have hated because they had something you wanted and they wouldn't give it up. Back in the 80s, I was a rent-to-own repo man in Five Points in Colorado. I'm told that Five Points has been redone, but it at that time was one of the worst, it was the worst area of Denver. My car got hit there, and the police said, well, if you can, just bring it down here for the report. It was a really rough place. It was the ghetto or the Queens of Denver. As I was there one day, I had stopped at a drugstore to pick up something to eat for lunch. And I was going out to my car, and a man asked me, let me rephrase that, a man demanded I give him my lunch. And I refused. And he attacked me. He attacked me. I had another incident there where over a stereo, I was picking up a stereo from a guy. He shot me over a stereo. When I read this scripture that says that we would murder for what we desire because we covet it and we'll fight and quarrel and do whatever it takes to get it and keep it, it has real meaning to me. I've seen it. The sad thing is when I'm honest with myself, I've lived it on the wrong side. Our third area is wrong motives. Verse 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. I like the way the King James reads for this. It says, because you ask amiss. I love that word amiss. It's, you're asking for the wrong reasons. We talked earlier about why people go to church. Found this little poem. It says, some go to church just for a walk. Some go to church to laugh and talk. Some go there for the time to spend. Some go there to meet a friend. Some go there for speculation. Some go there for observation. Some go there to doze and nod. Some, a few, to worship God. Why are you at church? Why would you take time out of your schedule to go to a church when a pastor stands up in front of you and tells you that you are a sinful creature, but there is hope for you? Why would you take time out of your schedule to do that? Why would you take time to mess with technology, to get it onto your TV or your phone or your computer so that you can watch it? I pray, I hope, that your motive is the love of God and the grace that He has poured into you, because He has taken you, if you belong to Him, from death to life, from hell to His kingdom, because of His grace. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from their wickedness. Didn't say should turn away from their wickedness. Didn't say might think about turning away from their wickedness. didn't even say pray about turning away from their wickedness. If you know the Lord, you need to turn away from those things in your heart that would draw you away from God. All these things, there's many of them that we desire in our hearts that are sin, not because of what they are, but because of the place we give it. When we put it above God, it is sin. 1 Timothy 5, starting the 24th verse. The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. Nothing is hidden to God, not our lives, not our thoughts, not our motives. What is your motive for worshiping? What is your motive for reading God's word? Are you praying and asking God for things when God has turned a deaf ear to you because you are not His? Believe me when I tell you that there are many who do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ who regularly pray for things. And there's even more who say they pray and don't. What are the motives of your heart? You know, God will not hear a selfish prayer. A selfish prayer is one that comes from a heart that is turned to the things of this world. A selfish prayer is one that is all about me, that I can receive these things. I can receive these things to meet the pleasures that I want them to meet. The saddest part of all of that is all the things in this world will never satisfy the heart. It'll never satisfy. You'll always need more that you can't get. There will always be things that somebody else has that you don't. When Paul says that he has learned to be satisfied with much or little, don't we need to learn the same thing? No matter what we do or don't have, be satisfied if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:4 says, speaking of those who are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and it says that they are opposite of one another. So my question is, what causes the wars among you, the fights and the quarrels among you? Is it your desires are set on things that do not honor and glorify God? If that is the case, it doesn't matter which side of an argument you stand, it's sin. Only those things that honor and glorify the Lord are worthy to be brought before God. And only those things make much of Him. I have heard people say things about God, and I know they're coming from a heart of a person who does not believe. And I don't hear the honor and glory in them. They may be saying things that are very true and right about God, but there is no honor and glory to God in them because they come from a mouth and a heart that is turned far away from Him. Where is yours? Is it turned to Him or away from Him? Please stand with me. Father God, Lord, as we close this time, Father, I pray that we would examine our hearts, that we would examine them not so that we could do better, but so that we can honor You. It has never been about our actions. Every time the Scriptures tell us to do or not to do something, it is not about those actions. It is about You and revealing the true and living God, the One who created all things, the One in whom all things are for and to. So, Lord, as we examine ourselves, let us turn everything into surrender to You for Your glory's sake. And I truly believe with all my heart that when we do that, and we become satisfied in You, we will become satisfied with everything around us. Content to You be the glory, Lord. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
The preceding message was delivered by Pastor Jim at Lighthouse Baptist Church in St. George. For more information, you can look them up at www.lighthousesbc.org.